Jose, you're near and dear to my heart. What else can I say? But I do have one thing to say before we get started. I guess the camera isn't able to pan to the PowerPoint, so all those that are live streaming, welcome, but you're not going to be able to see the picture, sorry. And they're working on that. I guess there's an issue with the remote, but there's still a message here that hopefully you'll be able to you'll be able to get it without seeing the pictures. The pictures are there just to kind of help us move along on down the road in which we're going. But I'm thankful to be here. I am truly grateful for this day, this Father's Day that has been given to be able to show the appreciation for all the hard work and the support that fathers do give to their families, their children, their loved ones, their friends, their families, and the church. And I know that being a father is, it holds all its challenges and struggles in life, but it's a wonderful experience. I'm truly appreciative to be able to know that our sister Betty picks songs that really it struck a chord in my heart, because I love that song by Johnny Cash. And it's one of his hymnal songs that he sings. And it's such, I just love that song. And I don't know about the future, what it holds, but I might get my wife a little upset about this, but that's like one of the songs that I want sung at my funeral, because I love that song so much. Not that I'm planning on being gone tomorrow or anything, but, you know, I just kind of put these things in my head, like, you know, this is a good representation of what I want to be able to share with people. Hey, I'll meet you by that beautiful shore. And I don't know why, it just chokes me up thinking about that, because you know, it's this day, this time, we get to reflect back at all those experiences we've had, you know, in our lives. And one of the things that I get to experience is the wonderful experiences with my kids and our family. And I wanted to share one of those experiences with you, and I did so by wearing this tie. This is, you know, one of those things that it was 2009 that my kids made for me on Father's Day, and I'll probably keep it forever and wear it every Father's Day. And, you know, we were going through our closet, and it was one of those ties where, you know, I had a whole bunch of ties, and I just, you know, I don't wear all these ties anymore, but, you know, it was in that pile. And Leisha was like, hey, do you want this tie still, you know? And I said, yep, most definitely. I want that tie. Put it on my dresser. And I already had it in my mind and set that I was going to wear it this day, because I knew it was coming up. But, you know, it's something that truly, gosh, I look at it and it reminds me of how fast time goes by. You know, Logan, yeah, there he is. He is a legal adult now. He turned 18 yesterday, so I'm putting him in the spotlight too. So happy birthday to my son, Logan. And then I'm gifted with, you know, three other beautiful children. One of them is actually with Joel in Upper Northwest, and being able to experience things that I didn't get to experience when I was his age. And, you know, one of the things I tell people at work, I boast about my children and what they're doing and how responsible they are. And I tell a lot of people at my work, I haven't shared this with this group, but if my kids, at this point in my life, if my kids, this was it, this was the pinnacle of their life, they would have already surpassed me by light years when I was their age. So I'm happy at this point, and it only gets better from this point on. So I'm looking forward to that and seeing them grow, seeing all these young ones grow, all the new babies. It's an awesome experience. And, you know, these are some of the things that life has to present to you. The Lord has to present to you as a blessing in life. The children are dear. And, you know, before I was a father, I never thought of all the blessings that could come from being able to look and to see and to witness and to testify of the love that God has for the children of men. And by blessing families with new ones and these children. And I love to see that. And I love to see them grow and to establish themselves. And I love to see the parents interact because those are things that are precious to us. And one of those things that really, and that's why I wanted to start off by saying, is has had such a profound effect on my faith in what God gives us as his children. And I can't imagine, you know, with the Lord blessing me with four kids and a wonderful wife, but blessing me with four kids, how he feels, because all of us are his children. You know what? I can't fathom, you know, how he feels about his children and being able to see them head down the road in the right direction, follow after his gospel, have their faith increase, and see that faith increase because of their parents and the faith that they have and the path that they walk and the roads that they've driven down. It's just an awesome experience. And one of the things that I wanted to share today is just some of those blessings that God gives us and some of the things that a father does. And one of the things that I thank God for and praise him for in my life is the patience that he gives me as being a father. And I think as we get older, as we get more seasoned in this world, as we have more experience, that patience grows and grows and grows. And I think that's one of the key things to being a father, is to be able to understand the patience that you need and the overwhelming amount at times and how important it is. And I've learned that because of faith in God. And I'm thankful for that, because before I was a father, before I was with this church, I had absolutely no patience whatsoever. It was a typical, probably stereotypical, young adult male in this world in which we live in. And it was selfish. And I've learned to be able to grow and to love and to care and to comfort and to have patience with a lot of things in my life because of the blessings that I've received from the Lord. And I wanted to start off with that scripture. And I wanted to start and I read from James chapter 1, the 3 through 6. Says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. And I think about those things that the experience that I've had throughout my life with my kids. And, you know, it's really hasn't been that difficult. And really, we haven't had huge challenges in our lives. Our kids have been blessed physically, we've been blessed spiritually. We've had a wonderful path to walk down, to experience life with other. We've been able to educate our kids at home. We've been able to go on trips and to spend that quality time together. And I thought about that and I was like, man, I am, you know, richly blessed in this life in which the Lord has given me. And, you know, I wanted to look back and see, where did Father's Day come from? You know, how did all this evolve? And it's interesting because I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read that. And I got it from history.com. And it's interesting because the times that this gentleman, William Jackson Smart, lived in, you know, times were very difficult. You know, it's very, very challenging. There was a lot going on. And this gentleman had altogether 14 children that he raised by himself. And so, you know, imagine all this, these kids, that 14 kids, I can't even, that's nuts. And this gentleman did it because he was married twice and lost his both wife, wives. And so let me read this. William Jackson Smart was a twice married, twice widowed Civil War veteran and father of 14 children. So this was the time of the Civil War where life was very difficult. Of one of his children dedicated her life to the creation of Father's Day in honor of her devoted and selfless dad. The story goes that William's daughter, Sonora Smart Dodd, was attending one of the first official Mother's Day services in 1909 at her church in Spokane, Washington. You know, that's close up by where Eric is right now and up in that area. And so when she had an epiphany, if mothers deserved a day in honor of their long, loving service, why not fathers? And so, you know, this gentleman, William Jackson Smart, he had to raise these four kids because he was a widower of two wives. And so I can't imagine how difficult that was in that day and age. And so in 1910, Sonora brought a petition before the Spokane Ministerial Alliance to recognize the courage and devotion of all fathers like William on June 5th, her dad's birthday. The local clergy liked the idea of a special Father's Day service, but couldn't pull something together so quickly, so they settled for June 19th, the third Sunday in June. And take note, this transpired in 1910. So this was the Spokane Ministerial Alliance that recognized this Father's Day on June 19th, 1910. And so on that first Father's Day in 1910, church sermons across Spokane were dedicated to dear old dad. Red and white roses were passed out in honor of living and deceased fathers. The mayor of Spokane and Governor Washington issued proclamations, and Sonora found her calling. Okay, so this wasn't official, though. In 1910, Father's Day was not official. It was just recognized in Spokane, Washington. And so I find it interesting that this was all recognized and coordinated through the church. And I really find that interesting because the meaningfulness of the principles of the gospel for fathers and how it carries, strengthens, gives you clarity, wisdom, knowledge of those things that you should do as a father is all spelt out in the gospel. And this is where it evolved from, was through the church. So, but it wasn't official in 1910. So she would spend much of the next 60 years pushing for the official recognition of Father's Day as a national holiday. So it wasn't until, this was a good year, 1972, right? That was a really good year. 6 years before Sonora's death at the age of 96, that President Richard Nixon finally signed a congressional resolution declaring the third Sunday in June to be Father's Day. Her dad, no doubt, would have been proud. And so the reason why I say it wasn't until 1972, and that was a good year, that was the year I was born, which seems like a light year ago. And so, but you think about it, this was a daughter of this gentleman, and she spent 60 years for Mr. Smart trying to be able to show recognition, not just for him, but because of who he was and what he's done. And I'm sure her perspective was that there's many other people in this world, in this nation, that have these trials in their life, that have to undergo these heavy burdens. But this gentleman, Mr. Smart, and I'm sure many others, and we all do it, undergo these burdens because of the love and care and the dedication that we have as a father to our families. And so I'm appreciative of that. I'm thankful for the day. There's a lot more history to that and why it took so long. I'm not going to get into all that, but one of the things I appreciate is, and I wanted to point out, is the underlying task that a man has as a father, especially when it comes to 14 children, and the era in which they live, and throughout that time, how difficult it must have been for this gentleman, Mr. Smart, to be able to care for those children. And if you go into history.com and you read more of the underlying story, the backstory to it, there's a lot of information in there that tells you, you know, all the things that he had to do and how he had to provide. And it's really interesting. So, you know, if you have time and if you're interested, history.com has that information in there. But again, you know, this was something that was brought forth through the church. And I look at the fundamentals that gave this Snorra the perspective of how important it is to recognize fathers. And overall, we have a heavenly father that really gives us the tools that a father needs, gives us the energy that a father needs, gives us the focus that we need, and especially the patience that we need. And sometimes, you know, as we're developing as a father, we see those skill sets improve. We see where our weaknesses are. We see where our faults at. In circling back, it's the spirit that helps us, and that faith that gives us the ability to be able to overcome within ourselves the struggles that we battle with day in and day out as being a father. But I give glory to that. I give glory to those people that dedicate 60 years of their life trying to bring something forth. That's a lifetime of service. And that's what God calls us to do. When we have a lifetime of service, we see the rewards that come with it. We see all the accomplishments that are made. We see the blessings that come with that. And so the first thing that we need to reach out to God for as a father, if it'll change my slide, there it goes, is the guidance. And, you know, I look back and there's many things as a father that I wish I would have done differently. But, you know, in the end, we all struggle. We all learn. We're all growing. And that's because we're children of God. And it says here in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so, you know, it's important that with these children, we really bring them into this world with love and with the word of God, and show them and build that foundation with them. I think about it a lot of times that, you know, when we brought our kids to the beach for the first time, I'm sure many of us have brought our kids to the ocean for the first time. It's a wonderful event to be able to experience and to see and to witness the awe that they have, and to be able to bring them there and to put their feet in the water. And, you know, depending on what age they were, I remember when it was our kids, they were screaming and freaking out because the water was so cold. But, you know, as they get used to it and they understand it and they're there with the parents, you know, holding on to their hand, they feel comforted, they feel secure, they feel safe, they feel like this is something special. And, you know, one of the things that I always remember is building, like trying to build, I'm not a builder by any means, sandcastles with the kids. That's something that we would do, all of us as parents. And that's one of the foundations of what it is to spend time and to have that quality time and to be able to let them know that you're there by their side from day one, you know, all the way from showing them the ocean for the first time to helping them be able to get through college. Those are things that as a parent, as a mother, as a father, that we do to support them. And those are the things that help them be able to develop in who they are going to be, and why they're going to be the way they are. And I thought it was really something important to share about fathers. And I got this from pediatricsoffranklin.com. And it says here that fathers, like mothers, are pillars in the development of a child's emotional well-being. Children look to their fathers to lay down the rules and enforce them. They also look to their fathers to provide a feeling of security, both physical and emotional. Children want to make their fathers proud, and And an involved father promotes inner growth and strength. Studies have shown that when fathers are affectionate and supportive, it greatly affects a child's cognitive and social development. It also instills an overall sense of well-being and self-confidence. And that's important to remember that this inner growth and this inner strength. I look at that, and you know, that's one thing that I've been really thinking about with the Sunday school class is, you know, these young teenagers, they're beginning to enter into the world, and I want to help them be able to be leaders. I want them to be able to be confident in what they're engaging in and to feel that they have a strength to be able to stand for and to stand up for what they believe in. And that I see a lot of that in all of our kids in my Sunday school class. They're wonderful kids, and they're strong, and they're confident, and they're focused, and they have a goal, and they have visions, and they see where they want to be and what they want to do. And I'm so thankful for that, because I know that derives from the parents. And I see when read what the father's role is in that and how important it is to be able to understand that, you know, these are the essential elements within ourselves. These are the characters, the morals, the ethics that we be able to cast into our kids and to help them be able to develop into people and to be children of God. And it's because we have a faith. We understand what God has done for us. And I thought about those things, you know, all those things that God does for us, and how that is a direct reflection on what we share with our kids. And so, you know, these are essential things. And I just did a brainstorm, and I came up with some of the essentials of life is what I call it. You know, these are all the things. I looked at that, and I was thinking about that, you know, the things that God has given to me from Him. And these are the things that we pass on to those that we raise. And so you got love, the most important thing of all, shelter, protection, food, clothing, education. Those are some of your more essentials of life that are just a given. Some of these things on the right-hand column, I believe it's on the right over here, opportunities, time, encouragement, guidance and direction, support and comfort, and I have opportunities twice. That's a clerical error on my part. We all make errors. That's funny. I was trying to balance it out. And yes, but it's the most important that we provide that love. And with that love, I believe all of this follows suit. And there's many more. I'm sure you guys have, oh, you forgot this. But there's many more that come along with this. And it's a great opportunity for us to be able to think about those things and, oh yeah, and share those things with our kids. Engage in conversation with them. Lift them up. Give them direction. Give them support. And give them the time as they grow that they know that we, as fathers, are there for them. Just like our Father in heaven is there for us. He listens. He gives us opportunity. He gives us encouragement. He guides and directs us. He supports and comforts us. All this stuff. And most importantly, He does all this because He loves us. So those are essentials. Those are the essentials that we have. And I have here, am I going to read this? Yeah, it's our responsibility to make sure our family needs are addressed. That's a given as a father. You know, that's one of the things that I appreciate the abilities that the Lord, the skill sets, the talents that the Lord gives me. And my children, and I hope everybody's children, will be able to see that personally as they get older. You know, some of those things, you know, dad goes to work. He has to be gone a given amount of time. All of us have different jobs and different fields, and we are gone for different amount of times. And a lot of times, you know, I remember when I was a child that, you know, not only was my dad at work, but he was also working in the garage. And I think about that, and, you know, there came a point to where as I got older, I understood the necessity of that because of some of the struggles that we had growing up and why all that unfolded. But the important thing and the point that I'm making here is that as a father, there's a work-life balance, and we have to be able to balance that in a manner to where we provide that essential time for our family, for our kids. And sometimes it's very difficult, and I understand it. That's why I was having a hard time whether or not I would share that. But I believe that with God, all things are possible. And it's not the amount of time, because some people don't have an abundance of time. It's the quality of time that you spend with your kids. And I'm one of those individuals that fit in the category that I need to do better with that. That's one of those things. And that's why I was having a hard time whether or not to talk about this, because I know that we all have different means of income and the different ability to be able to be there with our families. But again, the message that I'd like to get across that's upon my heart is that the quality of time that you spend with your family is truly, truly important. There's also the love here. I have a note here too that I wanted to speak towards. The love, the unconditional love that a father has for his children, just like God the Father has for us. How important that is. We raise children. I see the children. I see their personalities. There's things that transpire that I don't necessarily agree with, but I have an unconditional love, and I have a hope, and I have a faith that our kids will always think about and be led by the Spirit to make the right decisions and to grow stronger and stronger and to be able to see and to understand those things, those essential things of the gospel that the Lord brings forth within us and helps us be able to share with others. And so one of the things I've been working on is trying to exemplify a good life. And that word exemplify is to show or illustrate by example. And one of the things is in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 6, verses 4 through 8. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou riseth up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And so this is one of those things that all of us as individuals need to continuously work on, is exemplifying that image of God within us, having that good life, sharing those things, that quality time spending with our family, talking about these things, the importance of that. That way they feel encouraged, that there's wind in their sails. They know that there's a God above that cares about us and that loves us, that will take us through all the tough times, the trials, the struggles, the frustrations, that he's there for them, just like he is for us. And he promises those things that he'll be there. And so we need to be a blessing to our children. Psalms 119, 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how we find out where we're going. The Lord's leading the way. He's lighting the path for us. Our hearts have to be open, and we have to show our kids, our children, as fathers, the way through this life, have to share with them experiences, have to share with them the care and the love, and show them that affection and work within ourselves to be able to give them the strength, the understanding, and the example of what it is that God calls us to be. And in Proverbs 27, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. I looked up that word integrity. It's a wholeness and entireness. It's an unbroken state. The entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind. And that I really appreciate this definition as you look deeper into it. It says moral soundness or purity and incorruptness, uprightness, and honesty. Purity, genuine, unadulterated, unimpaired state. And I look at this and I think of that word integrity. And that's like the word that comes to mind is that's what I want to be. This is if I had to take everything and put it in one little package and call it one thing, it's to have integrity. All these definitions, these adjectives that encompass that word integrity. I think about that, and I think about how the gospel implies all of that to be within us. And it's 100% achievable if we're willing to apply ourselves. And I have this title here on this slide as be a blessing to your children. And I read this definition and I read those two verses and I think about that and where my children are at. And I think about how instilling all this in our children will be a blessing to us. That will be returned. I can't even say how many fold, but the Lord knows. And I think about that like when I started off with the service that, you know, if my kids didn't accomplish a single thing for the rest of their life, they've already done better than me. And I'm so appreciative of that. But that's not a free ticket for them not to do anything anymore and to sit on my couch and play video games. So, or whatever they do. So don't do that, but keep going, keep working, and you'll grow, and you're going to be a blessing not only to your parents, but to many of people you encounter, and the domino effect that has with what you're doing. And so one of the things I've learned as I was going through this, and I've been contemplating this, I've had quite some time, I think about the thoughts that I want to share. Is, you know, the one thing I didn't talk about as being a father is being a servant to my family, to my children. And I think about those things. So it really sunk into me that, you know, this mentality of being a servant, how Christ proved that being humble and serving others is that charity. And it comes back to that love of God, that love of Christ, that key element of being a servant. And so does that mean they're going to get out of all their chores? You know, no, it doesn't. But it means that I have an attitude and approach towards those that I'm bringing into this world that hopefully is not only fruitful for them, but for God as well. That is a blessing to them, but to me as well. And I look at those things, and I think I've been thinking more and more about being a servant and the rewards that come with that, the blessings, the many upon many of blessings that come with that in life. And it's not material things. It's things that affect you, your faith, your belief system. It affects you as far as your relationship with God, the strength that you gain from that. And a lot of people look at a servant as being a lower class of life, but it's not. It's not. I believe that it's actually something that life can't put on a pedestal. It's not something that's on a pedestal. It's something that God gives us, and it gives us strength. It gives us courage. It gives us wisdom and knowledge and clarity of thought. It gives us so many things. It's an abundance that is provided from God the Father. And so, you know, these things, that's why we share these things. That's why God has given me the courage to be able to understand and to know what it is that he calls of us and of myself and, you know, those things and how we should approach them and how we should train up our children. And so I'm thankful for that because, you know, these guys here, you know, this is part of that group. They're the next generation. And it says in 3 John, I don't think I've ever used this verse in all of my sermons. And it says in 3 John chapter 1, 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. And I think about that and how spot on that is. That is, would be just a true joy in my life. That would bring me peace. That would give me comfort. That would be the blessing. That's the return of all that is provided as a servant of God. And, you know, I put these pictures here. I specifically took these pictures with none of my family knowing why. And it's because this is up in Yellowstone, and that's Gibbon Falls. And I thought it was really neat because, you know, I look at age 18, 16, 14 going on 15, and 12. What, Brooke? What are you laughing at? I said 16. Is he? I got it. Hey, I'm getting old. It's okay. But one of the things that I thought it was a great perspective. I'm not a photographer, an artist, or any of that. But, you know, when I was looking at these pictures, I was like, this is really neat because I love wildlife and God's creation. I love God's creation. And one of the things I looked at is, and our reason for going on this trip is to have that quality time as a family and to be together. And I was thinking about that, and I only have so much time. We'll give it 20 years. I probably got 20 really, you know, close years, hopefully more, right? With the kids, you know, 20 years each, maybe 24 nowadays. They're going to college and all that. But I look at Gibbon Falls, and that's been there being worked on by the Lord and nature and the elements. I couldn't even put an estimated date on how long that took. And how much I appreciate that. But at the same time, how little time the Lord and us as a family have been working with the kids and how much I appreciate them and who they're becoming. And so I wanted to express that, you know, there's things in our lives that have been going on for thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. Only God knows how long before that waterfall was actually a little river or whatever, maybe even a stream. But at the same time, you know, it just helps me be able to appreciate the insignificance of myself and how much and how little time I have and we have to be able to spend raising our children. So it's vital. It's important that we really pour our hearts in our efforts in serving our kids and giving them that which they provide. And I wanted to read Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. It says, children's children are the crown of old men. And I know my kids are probably looking at me saying, that's you. And the glory of children are their fathers. I thought that's a peculiar verse, but at the same time, children's children are the crown of old men. So that's the trial of time. This word, this gospel that we put into our children, we'll see that in our children's children. And I pray that it'll be a crown for us to wear, a jewel in the crown, a crown. Psalms 103, it says, I'm going to read 15 through 17. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And so that's important that we remember that. The Lord has mercy upon us. The Lord loves us as his children. And if we have the Lord in our lives, you know, and we fear the Lord, what a blessing that is to generations to come. How wonderful that is to be able to see that transpire within our youth and the kids and our kids' kids someday. And so I wanted to read this poem. I thought it was pretty good. I like poems. Like, I really appreciate Kathy Cloyd and her poems. I'm not a poem writer. I'm not a photographer. I'm not an artist. I'm just a dad. And, you know, some of those things that people have talents in, I encourage you to continue to share them, and especially with our youth, because those things are, I feel, are being stripped away. The real talents that people have, I feel it's being stripped away by society. But, you know, as a parent, as a father, I wanted to share this poem by Karen K. Boyer. It says, he never looks for praises. He's never one to boast. He just goes on quietly working for those he loves the most. His dreams are seldom spoken. He wants a very few. And most of the time, his worries will go unspoken too. He's there, a firm foundation through all our storms of life, a sturdy hand to hold on to in times of stress and strife, a true friend we can turn to when times are good or bad, one of the greatest blessings, the man that we call dad. And so I like that poem. I wanted to share that. I'm glad I was able to share this message today. It turned out a lot better than I thought. I was just telling Michelle last night, I'm not a theme guy, like a holiday service preaching kind of person, but this really had me thinking. And, you know, now that I presented it and shared it with you, I see the value in it and how the Lord has really put these thoughts in my heart to be able to share with you. So I glorify him and thank him for that. And I thank you for your time. God bless each and every one of you, and have a happy Father's Day.